It's barely been a month since we were talking about the investigation into Operation Fast and Furious, which has shed some dubious light on the operations of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And now another U.S. government agency is defending its practices in the war on Mexican drug cartels. The Drug Enforcement Administration, has been laundering millions of dollars of Mexican drug money every year. It's according to a front-page story by our partner, The New York Times, that appeared yesterday. Undercover American narcotics agents launched that operation. They were hoping to trace the drug cartels by laundering it, literally following the money. Juan Grillo joins us now, Mexico correspondent for Time magazine, author of El Narco, Inside Mexico's Criminal Insurgency. Good morning, Juan.
Good morning.
So exactly what was the thought behind this? They were going to set themselves up to launder money and that would allow them to trace it?
Well, yeah, it's not only one operation. Actually, the article talks about a whole bunch of operations over several years. And the thinking is, if you have to infiltrate these drug cartels, try and bring down billion-dollar organizations, you have to set up fake bank accounts and start moving their money and offering them services to get in touch with them. Now, I've interviewed other American agents who have done things like actually traffic cocaine, physically move cocaine in order to infiltrate these organizations and bust them. It's not only a couple of agents. This is a kind of culture across the entire administration and the thinking and the way that things have developed to try and fight drug cartels.
I mean, but if anything, Juan, the Operation Fast and Furious from the ATF told us that that goes wrong. Here's Eric Olson. He's a senior associate at the Woodrow Wilson Center's Mexico Institute.
We have a case now in the U.S. The ATF thought it was going to allow some guns to be sold and monitor them being trafficked back to Mexico, and they lost control of those guns, and they ended up being used in crime scene.
I'm not sure they've proven that one of those guns was used at a crime scene yet, but you get his point there, right, Juan?
No, of course. In fact, they have proven that many of the guns were used in crime scenes and even possibly used to kill American agents. So certainly, these are all very shady practices. And many of the other practices also, I mean, the drug agents hire informants and pay informants to give them information. Now, some of those informants in the past have been found to be carrying out murders. That was actually done by the Immigration and Customs Enforcement of Homeland Security, involved in paying Mexican informants who were then carrying out killings inside this country. So, yeah, many of the practices and much of the area is very shady. I think this really draws attention to the whole war on drugs, the whole nature of it. And really, for the agents on the front line, they're given a very difficult task. They have to try and bring down billion-dollar traffickers, and they can't do it with street bust. They have to do it with espionage, and they get drawn into very complicated practices.
That's Juan Grillo, Mexico correspondent for Time magazine. Also with us, Jorge Castañeda, global distinguished professor of political science and Latin American studies at NYU and former Mexican foreign minister. So, Jorge, how do you take Juan's point there that because this is such an incredibly gigantic problem, the problem of the cartels, that street busts don't work and therefore the United States government has to get involved in kind of sketchy operations in order to fight back?
Well, he certainly has a valid point. That this is probably the only way to fight these cartels. The big question, of course, is why do you want to fight them? That is the question that is rarely asked. As a matter of fact, if you make most of this legal, there's no good reason to fight them. Or, in any case, if Mexico decides that it's not its business to fight them, but that if the United States wants to fight them, then the United States should fight them on its own territory instead of carrying out this war elsewhere. I think those are the more valid questions to ask, because it is true that there are limited instruments available. People in Mexico, for example, have been criticizing President Calderon in his strategy of this war on drugs for not insisting on following the money, on financial intelligence, on attacking money laundering. Well, that's exactly what this DEA operation is purported to be doing. You can't have it both ways. You can't ask the Mexican government and the U.S. authorities that support it to fight money laundering and to go after the financial side of the drug cartels, which is their weakest side, and then not like the way they do it. this is the only way to do it if that's what you want to do.
Well, Jorge Castañeda is the Global Distinguished Professor of Political Science and Latin American Studies at NYU. He's a former Mexican foreign minister. What you're describing, sir, is a disagreement, it would seem, between the way the Mexican government views this problem and the way the U.S. government views this problem. It makes sense that if you're going to try to control cartels that are involved in weapons and money and drugs, that you would have to get involved in weapons, money and drugs. Is there any measure that suggests this confrontation with the cartels is actually working?
Well, by just about any measure, it's not working. Or at least this is what the Mexican government's own numbers seem to indicate. We have now well over 40,000 deaths during the 5 years that the war has lasted. And by the time President Calderon leaves office a year from now, more Mexicans will have died in this war than Americans in Vietnam. We have no indication that the amount of drugs, the overall amount of drugs entering the United States through Mexico or from Mexico has diminished, because if that had been the case, we would see huge spikes in prices on the street in the United States, in New York City. And we haven't seen those spikes. Or we would see a huge collapse of overall demand and consumption of drugs in the United States, which we haven't seen either. So there are no results, but the cost is exorbitant at this stage. It's why it's a failed war. This is the name of the book I published now 4 years ago, El Narco, The Failed War. And I think that what we should be doing in Mexico is, and in the United States, is revisiting the whole issue and finding a different way to deal with this.
Well, Juan Griot, you know, this calls up the title of your book as well. You call it El Narco, Inside Mexico's Criminal Insurgency. And we've spoken about this before, that perhaps Jorge Castañeda's comparison to Vietnam is not an idle one. Perhaps the tactics of fighting crime don't work when you're talking about the Mexican drug cartels, and you have to view it really kind of as a war.
Well, yeah, there's, in a way, 2 points there. I completely agree with Jorge Castañeda's central point that the war on drugs is not working, that we have to link the Mexican war on drugs with drug policy in the United States. And it really, you know, we have to look at this, the failure of this drug policy. The second thing, though, this has gone beyond drugs now in Mexico, that I argue. This has now become the drugs are financing these groups who are now overwhelming the government in large parts of the country and have diversified to move into other industries like stealing petroleum, like shaking down major industry and small industry. Now, when they, like I said before, when they tax businesses, newspapers, they become like a shadow predatory government in these places. So it's almost moved from a fight over drugs to drugs financing a conflict in this country.
Which means that changing drug policy in the U.S. wouldn't end the drug cartels.
It wouldn't completely destroy them at one stroke, but drug policy reform in the United States, I think, is crucial in any long-term solution to reducing power of these organizations.
That's Juan Grillo, Mexico correspondent for Time magazine, author of El Narco, Inside Mexico's Criminal Insurgency, and Jorge Castañeda, Global Distinguished Professor of Political Science and Latin American Studies at NYU. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
You can join all of our conversations. Earlier, we were speaking about Newt Gingrich's ideas for child labor reform, allowing minors to actually work as a boost for the economy. Here's Brent from Rhode Island's reaction.
I grew up in rural Minnesota. I started working at the age of about 4 or 5, farming. So I think child labor is not really an issue. I made it, and I worked hard my entire life, and now I am doing okay.
Tell us your view on child labor or any issue in the program, 877-8MY-TAKE, or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.